Welcome to episode 115 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will have heard five common interview questions with phrasal verbs in them, two of which are connected to the general process of an interview, and three others that are related to skills and experience. All with the aim of improving your passive vocabulary and making you more relaxed so that you can perform better. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of this podcast. Today, we're going to be doing something, again, a little bit different, which is we're going to be focusing on a scenario. And the scenario in question is actually an interview. And what we're going to do is we're going to think about the types of phrasal verbs that an interviewer might use in an interview. So they might ask you a range of different questions, and in those questions there could be some phrasal verbs, and we just want to highlight some of those phrasal verbs so that it's that they don't become a problem when you are in that particular scenario. And as usual, Alistair is here to help me. Hi, Alistair, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Daniel. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, a scenario, right? An interview scenario. And we've actually got five phrasal verbs. Mm-hmm. Two that what we would call are a general process, let's say a general process of an interview. So more generalistic, let's say. And then three that are more connected to when you might have to explain your skill or experience, or when the interviewer asks you about your skill and experience, right, Alistair? So it's a kind of a two for the first part and then three related to skills and experience. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously there could be many more, but we've chosen to focus on these. There are one or two that we did look at, but we thought, yeah, they're fairly common. We probably covered them before. Probably most people know them.
Yeah.
We thought we'd choose these. Not, you know, they're not unusual ones, but maybe possibly people may not know these.
Sure.
For example, there's at least one I'm looking at that a lot of people might know, but in a different with a different meaning, which sure. We'll come to.
Sure. Mm. Absolutely. Good. So actually, this is interesting, isn't it, Alistair? Because it is kind of we're actually in the process of recording a course related to phrasal verbs, aren't we, Alistair? Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, yes, as we mentioned in, you know, the late last week's episode, there is obviously this audio course available for meetings, which we looked at last week. And at the moment, as you say, we're trying to prepare or started preparing another audio course that will be on phrasal verbs for business communication.
Exactly.
Or something like that. We haven't decided exactly on the title yet, but it's going to be for that purpose.
Exactly.
With many phrasal verbs that you need to know or useful to know to improve your business communication skills, really. No.
Yeah. So, and we're actually kind of in that particular case, we're actually integrating them into stories, which I think is
different.
Kind of adds an extra dimension. So the people who go for that particular course will get a story, and within that story, it's actually a business story. There are a few sort of phrasal verbs. The actual course will cover something like 88 phrasal verbs. So it'll be quite comprehensive.
Very comprehensive.
So we're excited about that, but that's something that's going to come. We've still got quite a bit of work to do on that, haven't we, Alistair? So
during the summer, maybe after the summer, it might be available.
Exactly.
But obviously, we'll let people know when at that time. But we thought, you know, as we're doing that at the moment, let's focus on some phrasal verbs, which may or may not be in the, well, probably they're in there, because if there's about 80, I would imagine these are probably going to be
in that list. Yeah, pretty much sure that all of these are going to be in that particular course. But anyway,
But this is just looking at a specific thing about interviews, though. Because obviously if a phrasal verb comes up in the question of the interviewer, which it will at some point, inevitably, these ones or other ones, the problem is you've got to understand the question. If you don't know that particular phrasal verb or don't understand it, you're not going to understand the question. You're going to be confused. You don't know how to answer it. Sure. And obviously, that's not good in an interview, no? I'm saying, excuse me, I don't understand the question. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So what we're doing here is sort of looking at some that could come up in an interview. Obviously, there could be many others. We're just focusing on these particular five. And that, you know, hopefully then if you're in an interview, these do come up, you go, oh, I understand the question. I know this phrasal verb. And then you can answer it. Because we're assuming you already have the necessary level and skills in English to be able to answer these questions pretty well. Talking about your skills and experience, for example. But obviously the worst thing is that you don't understand the question they're asking you. And there are many reasons you might not understand a question, but one of them, which is what we're focusing on, could simply be they use this phrasal verb that you don't recognize. Exactly. And then you're not going to understand what it is they're asking you. This is the problem.
Sure. Exactly right. Good. Okay. So let's jump into it. I think that's probably the best way to do it. Yeah. So we'll start with those first two, which are kind of more related to general process of an interview, not so specific. And the first one is to carry out. Now, I do have an example sentence here, which is maybe interesting for me to sort of read out. And then we can discuss it, right, Alistair? Should we do that like that? So can you tell me about a time you carried out a similar project? Okay. Can you tell me about a time you carried out a similar project? Now, this is absolutely a type of question that you might get in an interview, right, Alistair?
Oh, definitely. And this carry out is very common because you carry out tasks basically, I suppose it means you do something, no?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, carrying out a particular role, a particular task, in this case, a project. And it's very typical questions in interviews, isn't it? That they want you to say from your previous jobs or previous experience, giving examples of things you've carried out, like a project or a particular task.
Yeah.
So it's a very common phrasal verb to use, not only in interviews, but, you know, in work situations, but definitely one they could ask you in an interview, no?
Yeah. And it's very interesting, the fact that it means do. And I think that's kind of a little bit going back to the essence of what business English is all about. You could have said do, right? So if I change that particular question, I can say, can you tell me about a time you did a similar project, right? That would actually
That'd be more simple language, but it's possible. So that using that carry out, I suppose carry out has a slightly extra meaning. It's not just sort of, you could just do, you know, make a cup of tea. You do something and it's finished immediately. It's done.
Yeah.
Carry out sort of gives that feeling that, like a project, it's more long term. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're doing a series of actions over time. Mm. Sort of carry out gives you that sensation. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't say carry out a cup of tea, you know, make a cup of tea.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, also it would be make, not do, but well,
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or I know, do exercise. Yeah. You wouldn't say carry out running, you know?
No.
So we do use carry out for specific, tends to be related often to ongoing responsibilities and tasks over a period of time, which very much relates to work situations, no? Mm. Like running some project or some team or...
Yeah.
It's a little bit, there's an extra element there than just do. Although, yes, that question could just be with do, but it's much more likely they're going to use carry out.
Exactly. And that's the point really here, isn't it? And it's, and as I say, it goes back to the essence of what business English is all about. It's that ability to play two games. You can either go for the simple language or you can go for the more elaborate language. And you really need to be able to play those two games at the same time. They might just say do, that's fine, but you need to be able to understand when they say carry out, right? So that's
yeah,
the key.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're speaking, your response, I mean, you could just use do yourself, say, well, I did this, then I did that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. No, but you need to understand the question in the first place. And if you can incorporate the same word in your answer at some, you know, yeah, well, I had to carry out these particular tasks during the project. That's also good. No, to sort of use the same expression they use in the question.
Yeah.
Use it back to them in your answer if you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, yeah. It's even, I think that's a certain type of technique, actually. It's a kind of sort of, I don't know exactly the terminology of that sort of technique where you use the same terminology as the person that asks you the question. No?
Yeah.
I think it's probably some sort of reflection or something like that. Or
Yeah, I'm sure it's got a name.
It's, yeah, I'm sure it has a name. I'm sure it has a name. But I think if I was actually answering this particular question, I think I would be naturally attracted to carry out rather than do, because if you're in a formal situation, just carried out seems more appropriate, doesn't it?
Yeah. As you say, it's like more formal language.
Yeah.
And very much sounding business, work related. No? So,
yeah.
you know, other things you do, which are many things in your normal life, it's unusual you would use carry out for your daily tasks, no? Shopping and going to the gym and making cups of tea and things. So it is very much one we use a lot with work-related things, no? Carrying out. Or a government, you know, carrying out its policies.
Yeah,
no?
sure,
I suppose
sure.
It's putting, I suppose it's putting something into practice, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
So like
Yeah.
government, you know, legislating and then putting those laws into practice and their policies. So they're carrying out. So you can come up with an idea and a theory, but then if you don't carry it out, it doesn't happen. No?
Yeah, sure.
I suppose that's an extra element as well of the, well, I suppose, yeah, it comes back to do, because do is an action that you actually do. No, you don't just think about it. So, yeah, they're related. But yeah, definitely a good one, carry out.
Yeah.
And it's very, very likely to come up at some point in any interview.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you will have to analyze the profile of your interviewer as well. Like, if your interviewer is non-native, then the likelihood that they're going to actually use phrasal verb is suddenly plummets the probability, right?
Could be less, yes.
Yeah, because much, much less, is almost highly unlikely that they would use carry out or phrasal verbs in general. So really, the key thing here is to analyze your interviewer and think, okay, it's maybe unlikely that they're going to use a phrasal verb because they're non-native. But if they are native, then the likelihood of phrasal verbs is huge.
Much higher.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
So it can be.
Yeah, if the interviewer is a non-native and does ask a more simple question with like do, then well, fine for you. No, you understand it. And you can also respond with do the same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure, absolutely.
So it just depends, yeah, on the level of English that's being used within the interview.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, and of course, sometimes you'll never know that unless, of course, maybe you know who's going to interview before you.
Don't know in advance.
No. And of course, you might also not know what type of level that person has. Maybe they've been living in the US for ages and they will use phrasal verbs. Who knows? You know, but the key thing is to be able to understand, you know, not necessarily the idea that you need to reproduce or put it into your active vocabulary, but you know, you do need to definitely
understand. Yeah, obviously if you can use them yourself, great. But the point here is more an understanding thing, isn't it? Is being able to hear those words that are used in the interview and go, oh, okay, and identify immediately, like, oh, carry out. Yes, I know exactly what they're asking me, and then I can answer the question. Whether you use it yourself, that's a different thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
As you say, the passive sort of vocabulary, as you like to say, is like active that you use and passive that you can understand.
Exactly, exactly. Good. Let's jump on to the next one, which is really interesting. I do have one here. The actual phrasal verb is to follow up. Okay, to follow up. Now, the type of question that maybe they could ask you is, can you tell me a situation where you needed to follow up sort of convince somebody to do something? No, something like that. Go ahead, tell me.
Yeah, because what does follow up mean? It's basically, yeah, in people's work, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will probably recognize this one. They're working in particularly multinational companies. The follow up is used a lot. No follow up. So you've got to follow up an email. You sent an email. Well, there's different levels of follow up, I suppose. No, simply getting back in contact. You sent somebody an email, potential customer, client, or an existing one. They didn't answer. So you say, well, you need to follow that up. Don't just leave it. No, a week later, they haven't responded. You proactively follow it up, send another email to say, you know, I didn't get a reply to my previous email. You know, what's happening? So it's that kind of follow up. And then suppose something slightly more complex, know that you're given certain tasks to do within, I know, at a meeting, you've got to do this, this, and this. And you say, okay, that's your tasks for the next. And then the next meeting, the person who's organized the meeting, the boss or whoever, might do some follow-up saying, well, did you follow up with that? So did you do those tasks I asked you to do? So in that case, the boss is following up, if you like, or the leader of the meeting. Now they say, okay, I know we had these tasks were given to certain people in this meeting, and I've got to follow up and check that they actually did them and what happened, what was the result. So there's various aspects of following up, know something.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I do actually have another example that they might say to you at the end of the interview, which again, this is not so much of an issue, but it certainly is important that you understand what they're trying to say. So they might say, we will follow up with you next week. So
So they're actually doing following up on the interview.
Themselves, yeah.
Themselves. And you need to understand what do they mean by that.
Yeah.
And as you said previously at the beginning, they'll ask you maybe to give examples of where you did follow-up work. You know, tell us about something where you had to follow up on a particular thing that happened on a project, on a client. So you've got to explain where you... Because obviously that could be a skill, something you need to do within this particular role, this position in the company. You're expected to do a lot of follow-up, not just sort of do something and leave it and not go back to it, and continue with it.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
This thing about clients, and making sure you get back to them, check if they've responded to your requests or emails. So it's a part of most sort of jobs.
Yeah.
So they might say, give us examples of that. No, tell
us. Yeah, absolutely. And for example, they could also be in that type of question where they're asking you, can you give me an example where you followed up on something? They might be just really trying to ascertain as to whether... how proactive you are. How proactive are you in a situation where you're not being micromanaged, right? Where somebody's not looking over your shoulder all the time and checking what you're doing. How proactive are you? So give us an example when you followed up on something that didn't seem to be progressing and you thought, okay, well, I better follow up in this particular situation because it seems as if it's not progressing, right?
Yeah, very good point, isn't it? That you've got a level of responsibility and you're expected to use your initiative. Not having a boss or somebody looking over your shoulder, breathing down your neck.
Absolutely, yeah.
I emailed 2 weeks ago that client, they haven't come back. Have you followed it up? Why not? So yeah, you've got to do that yourself and monitor what you need to follow up. No, you've got to keep a track of what you've done, if people have responded, if they haven't. That's you using your initiative and showing that you can work independently and do these things yourself. So yeah, that could be a question in an interview because they want to know. They want to see that and they want an example of it.
Yep. Good. All right. So now we're going to a new section, which is skill and experience. We've got three here. Very useful ones as well. Again, mostly in terms of your understanding more than necessarily your active vocabulary. Really important to understand them. So the first one here in skills and experience is take on. And the example we have here is, what kind of new responsibilities are you looking to take on? That's an absolute question that could really come up, right?
Yeah, or willing to take on, prepared to take on is other ways they could frame the question.
Sure. Yeah.
Or it could be about your past experience, think responsibilities you have or tasks you have taken on in the past.
Yeah.
That they want you to explain. So it can be a thing about experience up to now or in this new job that you've applied for, this new role in the company. What degree of responsibility are you prepared to take on? Which means what? To accept, to do.
Yeah.
So taking on responsibility, if you say, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Maybe you volunteer for things. So you're prepared to accept responsibility is to take it on and do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or to take on a certain task or role within the company. This is the particular job you're doing, but if you were offered some other kind of position or role within the company that maybe had more responsibility, would you prepared, willing to take that on? So I suppose it's showing that you're very, keen is a good word, very motivated.
Motivated, keen, proactive, absolutely.
You're not afraid of responsibility or, taking on new tasks or whatever within
yeah.
the, or even new roles or new positions within the company in a, at a future date. You know, they're sort of testing you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I it could be also that they're, yeah, just want, they're interested in your ability to handle challenges, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And if you want challenges, no, if you,
yeah.
That
And
that
your,
motivates you.
Yeah. And your reaction to that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So take on is a good one. Yeah.
Good. The second one here in skills and experience would be breakdown. Now, of course, your car can break down. And that's very much, I think, you know, hopefully most people will understand what that means.
That's the one I mentioned at the beginning that I said.
Oh, really?
We'll come to one that many of our listeners will recognize and know, I'm sure, but from a different, with a different meaning, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll know about cars break, well, machines break down, which your computer, your car. This is breakdown, no, to have a breakdown.
Yeah.
You can also have emotional breakdowns. People may not know that one so much, but cars, machines can break down and human beings can break down. So you can have a nervous breakdown,
yeah,
which is where you cease to function correctly, you know, with depression or something.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah.
Different, Daniel.
Yeah. So in this particular case, I've got a sentence. So can you break down your thought process for tackling that challenge? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because breakdown clearly doesn't mean anything to do with your car or anything mechanical not working. It's just that they're asking you to, yeah, to sort of separate it out, right? To break down an idea, break down your thought process is sort of like explain it in more detail, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah. So in this case, it's not something breaking down, which is the meaning of like una avería, no, your car breaks down. In this case, you break down something. And this could be very confusing. So if you know the other meaning and then you get that question to be breakdown, una avería, like something that doesn't work, the question makes no sense. So therefore, this is a very important one that you've got to understand. This other meaning goes where you can break down something, which sort of means to separate or divide into smaller or individual parts, no?
Yeah.
Now, this is a thought process, which is slightly more, you know, complicated. You could break down the bill in a restaurant.
Absolutely.
To give a more simple example, there's 20 people have dinner. You get the bill, which is the total for everyone, whatever, €300. And then you can either just, so you need, you say, can we break it down? So what you have to do then is separate that bill into each per, you know, what did each person eat and how much does each person have to pay?
Yeah.
So you're taking the one thing, the full amount, and then breaking it down into smaller parts. That's what breakdown means. And there are many ways you can use that. So in this case, it's breaking down your thought process. So it's like, can you go through it and say exactly what were you thinking in this moment and this moment? So separate it out, no, and look at it in more detail.
Absolutely.
And there could be many things they could ask you to break down. You know, you can break down numbers and figures, thought processes in this case. Could you break down, or you know, you have a certain role in a company, your job, but could you break it down for us, please? Actually go into more detail of exactly what did you do in your previous job, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of in a way, just a way of saying, and that's why it's so annoying, I suppose, in many ways, right? Is the idea that they could equally have this say, could you give us a little bit more detail about that particular task that you were doing, right? But but they just say it this way. They say it in terms of like, well, could you break that down into for us to, so that we can get a better idea? You know, so it's exactly the same question. They're just asking for more details, right?
And this is the annoying thing about phrasal verbs. That if they ask it in one way, not using the phrasal verb, as you just said, probably you understand it perfectly, no problem. You go, oh, okay, fine, answer the question. But they choose, for whatever reason, and it's not a conscious decision, probably, especially their native speakers, because, you know, these things, we've talked about this before, no? That
we have,
Native speakers don't even know what phrasal verbs are or even know the expression phrasal verb. It's just words, vocabulary, you know? They don't really differentiate between a normal verb, a phrasal verb, and they don't understand that using breakdown instead of give us more detail, that would be more difficult for a non-native speaker to understand because they understand it perfectly. So it doesn't occur to them that maybe you don't. And this is the problem. So if you're unlucky and you get the guy or the person who decides to say, could you break down your thought process? And you're like, break down? And what you're thinking of is your car breaking down. I don't. So the question makes no sense.
Sure.
Unless you understand the other meaning of breakdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is
absolutely.
What we're trying to help with today, is...
it's funny. It's also interesting because I think from sort of in the past and when I've analyzed this, like most phrasal verbs can actually be replaced by some sort of Latin-based word. So it's in fact, if you really wanted to speak without using phrasal verbs, you could, because phrasal verbs can be replaced normally by one other single word that probably would be easy to understand.
For a non-native speaker, especially a Spanish speaker, comes from Latin, as you say.
So
I think we've given the example in the past of sort of look into. So look into means investigate or research.
Yeah.
But, everyone's going to investigate is very easy because probably in all Latin-based languages and definitely in Spanish, I'm sure is the same in Italian and is investigar. So somebody says investigate, you go, oh, yeah, easy, I understand that.
Sure.
But they may choose not to use the word investigate, say to look into.
Yeah.
And you're I know the word look and I know into, but together, what does that mean?
Sure.
And you go, exactly. Well, it means investigate. Oh, why didn't you say investigate? Well, I don't know. I chose to use this other one. To me, it's the same. No?
Exactly. Good, Alistair. Let's go on to the last one, which is to bring in. Okay. For example, the type of question that this could be, thrown at you, let's say, would be, tell me about a time you brought in new ideas to improve a process. So this clearly, to bring in this case is, to where you've kind of thought about a different way. Maybe you thought out outside the box, you've been sort of creative. And so tell me about that time where you brought in new ideas,
So bring in here sort of contribute. No, what did you contribute? What did you? Yeah, because I think, again, this one is not so much difficult to understand, but it's understanding it in this context. So I think to most people listening, you think bring in, bring, traer, in, but you think like bring something in like a physically, I don't know, you would bring in an object. Could you bring in the document into the office tomorrow, or bring in, so it's like carrying a physical thing, bringing in a cup of tea into the room. So I think most listeners would understand bring in, but not in that meaning, because you're not bringing in a physical object. What it is you're what are you doing? Contributing ideas. So what did you bring in? So what did you contribute? What ideas did you give or have? So there's no physical bringing anything.
I
have to bring in my umbrella to work tomorrow because it's going to rain. That's what most people would understand.
Yes, absolutely.
And here it doesn't mean that, it's bringing in a different, a metaphorical sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good. So there you go. Five different phrasal verbs. The first two very much connected to general process, carry out and follow up. And then we had three that were connected to skills and experience, which is take on, break down, and bring in. Obviously, really important to remember that, this will hopefully help you try to not feel so nervous in those key conversations. It's really difficult. I know that because an interview is not a comfortable situation anyway. But if you can sort of, make sure that these types of language elements don't put you off even further, that really is to your benefit, isn't it? And so, you kind of have that knowledge that you are absolutely happy that you kind of, in the case that a phrasal verb comes up, you'll have an idea about what it means in general. That's the idea.
Yeah. And obviously our idea with this course that we're preparing is to introduce many, many more and in different contexts, not just interviews, obviously, to communicate better and understand better in work, business context.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that obviously we've just chosen five here that could appear in an interview, very possibly. But obviously there's a lot more. So, this will definitely help, but it's not the end of the matter.
No, absolutely, of course. And in fact, in the course, we've kind of identified 21 different sort of scenarios, whether it's creativity or I can't even remember the others that we've thought about, but it's like
lots of categories.
Lots and lots of different categories, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
and in each category, there's, I don't know how many,
four or five, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So really interesting in the fact that we've, I think, the context as well is interesting because it's in a story, and hopefully we'll make that more interesting as well. Often the whole idea of phrasal verbs is that they're a little bit dry and they're a little bit sort of removed from context, and you just to sort of learn them as a list. The idea of the course is really that we kind of bring them to life a little bit in different sort of scenarios.
Yeah, with real true stories, about different companies and how they operated or were created or whatever it may be, or their philosophy. And obviously within that, then the phrasal verbs appear naturally to tell that story. And then we'll identify them and look at them and see what they mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Alistair, thank you very much. Really, really interesting. Fantastic to have you with me again this week. And I will see you again next week.
Okay? Yeah. Pleasure as always. Cheers.
All right. Take it easy.
See you. The next
Bye.
One.
Bye-bye.